Welcome to the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. To stay connected, go to revivaltoday.com. And now, here is Evangelist Jonathan.
Take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9.
Sorry, we got the announcement.
Did you play video announcements yet? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you guys could play like a sadder song on the piano, that would be great. I don't know if you're like battling depression right now, but if you could not take it out on the keyboard, that would be awesome. 2 Corinthians 9 sounds like the closing credits music to Friday the 13th. Who's playing that? All right, better. See, I'm going to like fling myself off the balcony. You know, I flew through the night and didn't sleep, so if you could play something that doesn't make me want to bash myself in the head with a chair, it'd be great. 2 Corinthians chapter, but in all seriousness, you're doing a great job. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. The Bible says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. We have an extremely giving church. So I'm skipping the first part. If preachers ever do this, people plant small seeds and wonder why. We don't have people like that here. I want to emphasize the positive part. Say it out loud. He who plants generously,
will reap generously.
I'm looking forward to seeing that kid again. Because I know the next time I see him, he's not going to have tears in his eyes. Anytime God speaks to you about a seed, he has a harvest in mind. This has happened so many times that somebody came crying, given something that the Lord spoke to them. See, this is how everybody wins in an offering. She is testifying how happy she is. And then, now keep an eye on Jason. Make sure he doesn't go hurt himself in the back. They're just jokes. We love you. It's nothing personal. Just keep someone near him, all right? If you see him draw a warm bath and have a plug-in boombox next to it, just unplug it, please. So she gets that rifle and all that. But you know what? That'll end up being the smallest of the testimonies because the blessing stays with the giver. The Bible says it's more blessed to than to what?
Receive.
Why? Because when you plant a seed, the Bible says the gift comes back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over to make room for more, I will cause men to give into you. Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, I can't remember which place I shared this. If I said this last week, forgive me. Pastor Rodney Howard Brown told me the last time he was in Oklahoma, I preached there in October of 2020. And this guy said he heard I was a prosperity preacher, but he came to the meeting anyway and he was upset. He had an old pickup truck. He was a country Oklahoma guy about my age. And then he said, while I was preaching, the Lord spoke to his heart. Give him your favorite gun. Now, I've told you, I don't think the people that fly
here are... Here it is. I'm sorry I had to interrupt you.
But show him up close.
Look at this. It's literally the lightest thing you ever did pick up, guys. I have boots that weigh more than this gun. See how beautiful it is?
Anybody turning in on Christian TV right
Thank
now?
Thank you.
Those Christian nationalists, this is getting out of control. They're taking an offering at gunpoint. If everyone could just give as directed by the... We had the largest offering we've ever had. $3 million came in. Jewelry. How many of you are glad you're at Revival Today Church? Where the pastor's wife waves firearms around. So this guy said, the Lord put it on my heart. Give the most valuable gun that I had. I will take the dishes to the sink. You can be sure of that. And then 2 years later. No, it would be 3 years later. Pastor Rodney came back to that church and that guy was smiling. And he said, can you tell Jonathan when you see him? About that, he said, he'll remember me. I gave a rifle to his wife. I do remember. Because the way he didn't look like a guy that would do that. You could tell he was doing it. It was hard for him. He said, since I did that, my business took off. I love you. Since I did that, my business took off. He said, I bought a brand new truck. He took Pastor Roddy out to see it. He said, thank him and let him know when he comes back, I have more guns, plural, for his wife. Now, I told you, these pilots that fly us, I don't know that they believe that I'm a preacher. Because like last night, we leave L.A., come back with a rifle. How'd the service go? Here's our rifle. Load that and be careful with it. But that's, you know, when you start, when you get on the giving path, you get on a different road. Because it's more blessed. And this is why, if you've been coming for 2 years, it probably gets old. But I never was taught this in 18 years. It was the church needs money. Can you help? People need soul. People need to hear the gospel in Africa. Can you help? And it was, how many know we can live on less so others can simply live? We started feeding 40 kids a day from this ministry. The week I committed to feed 40 kids and sent the check, I went to preach at a church where the most money they ever had come in the offering was $2,500. The offering that week was $92,000 at a church of an Assemblies of God church of 130 people. And I realized something then, that this giving is helping those kids. But the Bible says in Proverbs 28:27, he who gives to the poor will never lack anything. So I upped it to 80. I thought, well, if this happened, then let's not stay at 40. As God's had more come back, let's top it. So we go to 80. Then I'm preaching at a church near here. The most they had ever had come in for an evangelist. I'm talking like big name evangelists, $5,000. The offering's $137,000 in a week. I said to Dallas, we're onto something here. I said, why do you think so much is coming in? Because that had happened several times in a row. She said, you kept telling people that we were feeding 100 kids a day, but I actually never upped it. So to make up for it, I upped it to 200 kids a day. And then that money's coming in. So then we upped it during the pandemic. I thought, okay, if the economy's going to crash, I'm going to have some insurance. If the Bible says in Proverbs 28:27, he who gives to the poor will never lack anything, and they're telling us all we're going to lack and have to go on universal basic income, I'm upping from 200 to 1,000. So if I'm going to bankrupt myself, I'm going to do it. I'm going to see if I can bankrupt myself by giving rather than waiting for Dr. Fauci to do it for me. And so we upped it to 1,000. And we had the best financial year by far. We went from 3.1 million that year to 5 million that came in that year, almost doubled. So then I upped it to 2,000 kids. And then this year, this what did we take in? 2020, we took in $3.1 million. We're probably going to take in about that or a little more before the end of January, if we haven't already done it. So I just put in the call, just so you know, since you're in this with me, we're now from 2,000 kids a day, which we were already the largest donor for Feed the Hungry of any ministry. And we upped it from 2,000 kids a day to 5,000 kids a day starting now. And you're a part of that. The only meal most of those kids eat. Now, let me ask you a question. As we've been upping that, am I giving this speech and saying, I'm sorry, we're meeting in a shack with a water-damaged ceiling, but we're doing it so we can help other people? We don't have a big fancy place to meet because we're taking care of God's work. No, what you make happen for others, God makes happen for you. When you give, your gift comes back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over to make room for more. I will cause men to give liberally into your bosom. Give and you shall receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive, because the seed goes but then comes back 100-fold as much as what you've given. Let me tell you one more. But thanks for being so nice to preach to on an interesting night where I'm not necessarily the most rested I've ever been, taking it out on the keyboardist. But someone had to take it. Amen. You know, I said this, I don't know where I mentioned it. I think on the road this last week. But Camila has done more to solidify my faith in this area than anybody, because it's insane for a 10-year-old to receive any kind of harvest. She doesn't need it. So, well, the Lord provides the needs. She doesn't have needs. Her mom and I take care of that. She doesn't have a mortgage. She doesn't have a DUI attorney from crashing her tricycle under the influence. She doesn't have needs, but she sows. So last week, a man from Minnesota that drove here for the meeting, very well dressed, sharp guy, he said, "The Lord spoke to me to give this to you for your daughter." So he hands me a velvet snap case with a quarter pound of silver in it, a quarter pound silver bar, and then 20, I think it was 20 silver 1 ounce coins. So I walk back to that lobby out there to go give it to her. And you know what Camila's doing? She's got money out, handing it out to different people from the church. "I want to bless you with this. I want to bless you with this. I want to bless you with this." Three people. So when she finished, I said, "Wait, hold right here. I just want to do this to show you, because I'm coming back to you." Gee, why would a man, this, and it's not from being a preacher's kid. That never happened to me one time as a preacher's kid, but I never gave either. So she's out shelling her money out to people in the church to bless them. You know her teacher at Christian school just had a meeting with her that she's not allowed to bring gifts to school because you have to give them to everybody. And she said, "I was going to give them to everybody. I was just giving them to someone at a time." So her teacher is a communist, but the Lord will deal with her heart. Then they made another rule. If you want to have a birthday party, you have to invite everybody in your class. What are we going to have, a 1980s house party? There's 45 kids in the class. You got to invite everybody and have fights and stuff. Anyway, I just want to get a few things off my chest. The music was irritating me. That teacher's irritating me. This is just going to be like a big group therapy session today. So I see her dishing out that money, and there I come back with about $1,000 worth of silver for a 10-year-old. I said, "Camila, you see how you're giving that money out? Look what just came back." And I wanted to show the people that this isn't bullcrap. We took in what, $21 million something dollars last year. The year before, we took in 15 and sowed 2.7. Then last year, we took in 21, almost 10, 8x what we gave. We gave 6.3 that away, almost 30% of everything that came into this ministry. And I'm not a ministry that has creative ways to make it sound like we give. You know, we could have Revival Today Church and Revival Today Evangelistic and give from the church to the plane and stuff, and then give from what I take on the road back to the church. And on paper, it would look like we gave, but I'm just taking money from my right pocket and putting it in my left pocket. I control all the accounts. I'm talking $6.3 million that goes out to other ministries. You know what I mean? Ministers. What do I mean by that? I mean like calling up a guy that's 86 years old and saying, "If you want to go out and preach, go out and preach. But you're never going to have to leave your house again if you don't want to. I'm sending you $70,000 a year like you're on staff at the church. I don't want you running the roads at 86 trying to get your next offering." We do that for people from this church. And what happens? We want to know what happens? I'm in Los Angeles yesterday preaching Saturday morning. And a family from Europe came up to me and said, "We want to give you this." And it was heavy. 20 ounces of gold. What's gold an ounce right now? 1,700 or 2,200? What is it? What's gold roughly? 2,000? Yeah. So, I mean, that's what? $21,000 about. Just in gold, that's outside of the offering for the ministry, not me. If it was for me, you'd know I'd have it on a necklace. Amen. I store jewelry the same way they did in the 16th century, on your body. So he hands that to me. Have you ever heard of that happening for preachers? No, but you also don't hear, they all are, not all, forget I'm on camera. Many are tight-fisted. Always, "Can you help? Can you be a blessing? We're actually right now going through a great need at our church." You know, if I was a normal pastor, I would say to every person who came here to preach, "We have land that we just got, and we have to put a building on it, and it's probably going to be about $20 million. So if you could just be a blessing." And people think that's the path to money, is trying to get everything for free and trying to get people not giving offerings out. I certainly wouldn't have Jesse Duplantis in. He's going to take all the money out of the church. You know, he takes offerings, he uses his own envelopes. No. give and you shall receive. When your people give, the money goes to that ministry, but then God opens the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing that's so great you won't have room enough to take it all in. One more thing and I'll move on. We got baptisms and everything else, and I got a message to preach today. Let's say I tried to find creative ways not to tithe out of this ministry and personally. And not, you know, kind of cut back our giving. You know, actually, because we need to build two churches, one in Texas and one in Pittsburgh, call Feed the Hungry and tell them we're going back from 2,000 kids a day to 80 kids a day because we have needs. Could I have saved enough money for a Falcon 50 to do that? Could I have saved enough money for a $5.7 million building on 107 Patent Drive? No. Could I have the owner of this place tell me, use this as long as you want for free, and then without telling me, him use his lawyers when they tried to kick us out of here and pay all the legal expenses? Could I have saved up enough for that? That's another few million. No. And on down the line, how many testimonies do you... Could I have had two guys say, hey, I saw you got a jet. Here's $151,000 for fuel. Second guy, hey, saw one guy gave you $151,000 for fuel. Here's another $125,000. When you give, God supernaturally, instead of money getting vacuumed out of you, see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that's so great you won't have room enough to take it all in. That's why at this church, we pay cash for everything. We never meet with any mortgage brokers. We don't meet with anybody to borrow money because we serve El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. And the reason I brought my daughter into it is if you think God does that for me because I have a striped tie and loafers, then explain a 10-year-old. Who drives from Minnesota to give silver to a 10-year-old? That's like inappropriate. Where are you going, Bob? I'm going to drive down to Pennsylvania. There's this 10-year-old girl I'm bringing silver to. Okay, I'm calling the police. Everybody say, give. And you shall receive. Now, who said that? That's that stuff they teach in America. No, Jesus wasn't from Oklahoma. Jesus said that. Jesus. Give, and then Paul said it again in 2 Corinthians. Give, and who shall receive? Who? You. The one that gives. You give to PBS, you give to PBS. See, it's interesting how the devil only fights one group receiving money. You never hear any talk shows. Can you believe PBS is on again? Raising money for public broadcasting. They were just on doing it last month. Telling people that if they give, they'll get a gift. You never hear that. Never hear anything about it. For any type, Red Cross. When have you ever heard, can you believe the Red Cross CEO has a private plane? That money's supposed to go to charity and help people. That guy's flying around in a jet. You think the Red Cross CEO doesn't draw a salary? He draws a huge salary. But you never hear a word about it. What's the only thing that's fought? You don't hear anybody go on TV. Can you believe those casinos serve people free drinks and get them drunk and have them gamble? So they're gambling more money. I mean, think about it. Think of the criticism we take for receiving offerings. What kind of criticism will we take if I said, now listen, instead of teaching on giving, before I do, we have cocktail waitresses coming around and they're going to serve you Long Island iced teas. I want everybody to have two minimum. You're welcome to have five or more. And then we're going to receive the offering. We would be on KDK. Can you believe? But then if you go to Rivers Casino or Washington, you get people drunk and separate them from their money. Now, I'm not criticizing you. But if it's okay for you to do that, tell me why it's wrong to encourage people out of the Bible to give to the work of the Lord. You want to know why there's a demonic hostility? Because when you give to the casino, it's gone. When you give to PBS, it's gone. But when you give to the kingdom of God, it comes back, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It destroys the plan of the World Economic Forum to keep you broke. You'll never be broke another day in your life. If you believe it, can you say amen? Envelopes are on your seat. If you're watching online, revivaltoday.com. and click give now. They'll put the information on the screen. Give out of a desire to see God advance you. What are you believing for God to do this year? He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Don't give little seed if you got big dreams. I'm not feeding those kids to help them. I'm feeding them to help me. If I take an interest in what God wants done, God takes an interest in what I'm looking to do. And when God gets interested in what you're doing, do you know what we did last week to be able to do that? That's like a year's worth of evangelism that we did in the last 6 days in the old days. Going to California is a big deal. Now it's not. I preached last night. I shook hands with everybody in the lobby. I laid hands on every single person. Stuck around. Didn't rush out. Prayed for people. We had people get saved last night. We had, 18 come to the altar? That first person that I called out in the gifts and prayed for was a Jehovah's Witness that wandered in from the lobby and sat in the back and got healed and came to the altar and gave her life to Jesus Christ. And then hop on a plane, knock out on the plane, land here at 8 in the morning, go home and change, come into church. My wife talking about firearms. I feel great. See, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. If he can get you to do things his way, then you get to live his way. His way is higher than our ways, not lower than our ways. Can you say amen? If you're making out a check, Revival Today, P.O. Box 7, Prosperity, Pennsylvania, 15329. Oh, by the way, if you're looking for a target, Bishop Dagg texted me this week. He said, come join me in Liberia. I said, when is it? And he sent me the dates. It's the only week I have off. So I'm going, and I was thinking about paying. We paid for the last crusade $300,000. We already send $20,000 every month. What should you send to somebody that's having the biggest evangelistic meetings in your generation? What do you send, $100 a month? What's that going to do? That won't fill. You know, you think it's cheaper in Africa? Actually, Luanda, Angola, where Jay and I went to meet up with him, is the most expensive city in the world. Because of inflation, because of people stealing stuff from the ports. You know, if people steal 20% of what comes in, then the savings gets passed on to you. A burger, fries, and Coke is $125. Yeah. And you got Americans sending the, you know, $50. So what, he can have half a burger and 3 French fries? We believe in missions. No, you don't. You're going to stay poor. He who sows sparingly, he will reap sparingly. I'm not sowing seed like it's still 1960. There's churches watching me right now. You've never updated your missions giving since a board meeting in 1978 under the Nixon administration. We send $5 a month to Brother Anderson in Kenya. First of all, he died 15 years ago. You haven't even read his letters. You should see the look on Pastor Augustine's face when I rebuke Americans for their lack of giving to Africa. The joy, the unbridled joy. Thank you for saying what I'd like to say. And then they wonder why they're having to go through building programs and color in a red thermometer for 11 years. I was at a church in Pennsylvania. Their goal for the year was to raise $900 to renovate their bathroom. And it was being colored in slowly. Now, you can live like that if you want. I could be living like that. But I guarantee you, if you have to raise $900 to fix a bathroom, I want to see your church's giving. Camila had more than that come in last week by her own sewing. Give, and you will receive. Money doesn't have to be a mystery. Brother Jonathan, what do you do when your ministry has needs? Explain to me why my ministry would ever have needs. The first promise of Psalm 23 is, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack anything, I shall not want. Provided you let the Lord be your shepherd. How did Paul say it? Let each man give as he's directed by the Spirit. Let the Lord lead you, not just in where you live, not just in who you marry, but let him lead you with your money. You know, I've brought this watch up ad nauseum. I already had a Rolex. What do you think I sold the other one? I gave it. A seed will outproduce a sale. If you saw how I was with money, it would make you nervous. I give and give and give. And in giving, I've made no effort to save money, but I have more money in savings than if you tried your hardest to save. Because the overflow comes from giving, not from trying to cut back. We're not ordering appetizers anymore. Okay, that's your secret to wealth? To not spend $7.99 on mozzarella sticks at Eaton Park? Yeah, but Jonathan, I know, but if we do that 10 times, it's $70. Yes, I know, I understand. But there's a better way. Amen. Amen. Some people are looking like they're less glad they came this morning. But that's not my problem. Everybody say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Say, I'm super blessed.
I'm super blessed.
Say, I'm abundantly blessed. Say, what I make happen for others, God makes happen for me. You think I can bless 5,000 kids a day or spearhead the effort to bless 5,000 kids a day and my own daughter lack? We signed her up for private school. Somebody found out we had registered her and in 40 minutes called and said they'd like to pay the tuition anonymously. I didn't tell anybody. What you make happen for others, see, if you just put God's kingdom first, you don't have to, you don't even have to worry about anything, anything. It's there. I'm going to tell you how this year is going to go for you. Before any need arises, the provision will be there ahead of time. As you put God's thing first, you will never play from a deficit. I will make you to lend to many, but you will not borrow. Do you know how that becomes a reality? How could you ever have to borrow money? If the Bible says the Lord is your shepherd, you'll never lack anything. You can't go to a loan office and borrow money for fun. Actually, probably now you could. For sake of this example, you used to need a reason to borrow money. I'm going to buy a house. You needed a project, something. So if there is no need, like if I were to go sit in a loan office right now, what could I borrow money for? I don't have that plane. We're not trying to pay it. We're not trying to do anything. I will fill your storehouses with grain. That's what the Bible says. That means before the need arises. Abraham wasn't praying meals on the table. Now, if you're in lack today, I know that exists. I'm telling you, I've been there myself. But you can break the back of poverty today, and it never returned in Jesus' mighty name. And you say amen. All right, lift your seat up before the Lord. Father, I thank you for giving us a church full of generous, kingdom-minded people. And as they participate in your end time gospel preaching, hungry people feeding program, I thank you that whatever's happening down here on planet Earth, they're not affected by it because their source is not the U.S. economy or the global economy or stocks or crypto. Their source is the open windows of heaven, where there is no lack and there is no run out. Thank you for pouring out a blessing that's so great that people will only have to wonder what to do with it all. In Jesus' name. Before you receive the offering, is Patrick here? What do we owe for tithe right now? Yeah, that'll let you know what kind of month. And I already gave $100,000 of the tithe away, and it's up to $140,000 that we have to tithe. You know, if you that's fun. It's fun to sit this week and think, now who can I send a check to that's going to make them have a massive heart attack? They're going to think it's a misprint. You know, I have preachers coming. Yeah, you don't have to send that much. No, actually, I do. Or I'll go, you can't talk like I talk and not tithe. Our tithe. See if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that's so great, you won't have room enough to take it all in. You know why I tell you these numbers? Because people think we're full of crap. I'm not. Check it. Check it. We file. What's the form we file that you can look up online? A what? 990? Huh? 990. Check it. I'm not blowing smoke. That's why I tell you anyway. It's all public record. And I like taking long enough on the offering that all the people that don't want to give can go find another church where it'll set you at ease. Go have free stale donuts in the lobby from the Starbucks dumpster. I've been running those. Why do you think I post so many pictures of the plane to show off? No. If you want me to travel by horseback, go to another church. I'm not hiding anything. This church is blessed. This church is rich. And if people in this city have a problem with how rich we are now, get some heart medication ready and a stent, because we're going higher in Jesus' mighty name. And you're going higher in Jesus' name. Go ahead and receive the offering. And here's the announcements for the week.
Good morning, Revival Today Church. Good morning, Revival Today Church. Here's your weekly announcements. Today, following service, we'll be having water baptism. Join us for our miracle service Friday, February 2nd at 7 p.m. at 107 Patton. Communion service will be Saturday, February 3rd at 6 p.m. at 107 Patton. You're invited to our Valentine's Day dinner at 107 Patton at 7 p.m. Wednesday, February 14th. New members class will be Sunday, February 18th following service. Our first ever family skate night will be Monday, February 19th at 7:30 p.m. at Neville Island Roller Dome. Youth Winter Retreat will be March 8th through the 10th. Register at rtcregister.com. Ladies, Bloom is hosting a Galentine's dinner Friday, February 23rd at 7 p.m. at 107 Patton. For more information and to register, visit rtcregister.com. And those are your weekly announcements.
Nice, Marissa. Give Marissa a big hand clap. Good job. Some positivity to balance out your senior pastor. How many of you are blessed today? Well, if you don't know, I don't expect everybody to know. I left here yesterday after Monday when we broke the fast. I left here Sunday, Pittsburgh, preached in Fort Worth at our church there Monday, preached in Phoenix Tuesday, Reno, Nevada, Wednesday. San Diego Thursday night, they had a cancellation, so then I spoke Friday at 9 a.m. as well. Then up to Los Angeles, 7 p.m., and then Los Angeles, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m., and those weren't at churches. I just put an Instagram out and wanted to see who was out there. We had 286 people opening night in Los Angeles. At the day service, we had 263, and last night we had just at 400 even that packed that ballroom out at the Sheraton Gateway. So I want to show you what the Lord did, because last night's meeting was off the hook, and it was a special meeting. We probably had 20 pastors, senior pastors that came. And so there was such a buzz there. I was thinking about shooting back tonight and doing another week, but I thought if we plan it better, I'm going to start to transition to, instead of going to one church to a city, if there's a bunch of pastors there that all want to do that kind of meeting like there is in Los Angeles right now, then let's organize it like Billy Graham would. But with Billy Graham, if you could get 30 pastors together, that's how they pack the stadium. Get people that are hungry for revival working together. And so I want to show you that meeting last night, because it was awesome. The hotel was so accommodating and happy we were there. And then I'm going to show you two of the miracles that took place in that meeting. We're going to have church today. You're going to leave here and have the best week you've ever had to cap off the first month of this wonder year. This is going to be a wonder year for the people of God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Go ahead, play the recap of last night.
Something on the inside of you that the devil doesn't have the capacity to stop. You're coming out of here free and with the victory tonight.
Pause. See that guy that took his oxygen off? I never told him to take his oxygen off. That's a pastor that got attacked in his lungs. You think that's not the devil? You don't need 100% lung capacity to preach. You need like 300%. So he can't preach. He's sitting there just like that. He was back that night with a suit on, with the oxygen off, completely healed. He ran around the lobby. You know how fun it is to do a hotel meeting in Los Angeles and there's people running around the lobby yelling in tongues because they just got healed? The devil's not going to have the United States of America. He doesn't have a chance. Go ahead. Continue.
Jesus' mighty name. The Bible says in this last hour, men's hearts will fail them because of the fear. People are going to have sorrow and depression and sadness. But I'm not in that group. I've been delivered out of sorrow. I've been delivered out of depression. I made up my mind. The joy of the Lord is going to be my strength and overflow out of me to others. We were were never supposed to have a meeting like this again, but here we are gathered in a public hotel celebrating the victory of Jesus Christ, the head of the church.
Isn't that awesome? That was 12 hours ago. I laid hands on 400 people in Los Angeles 12 hours ago, and I'm here in Pittsburgh right now. That's the Lord. If God gave us that jet to keep it in the hangar, he's going to be very disappointed. We're going to fly that thing. Can you say amen? So here's the testimonies. A lady and her mother, and her mother's a pastor. The devil is a wicked devil. Their son was a healthy, smart son. He was running a race and got dehydrated, and he had an attack on his central nervous system. He has a seizure once every 10 minutes or less for however many years. So his mom and dad haven't slept through the night. They have to alternate. He has a seizure several times an hour, even through the night. That's a tormenting spirit. And then they were there, and I called the mom and dad out, and then the son and prayed. And they came the next day smiling, to steal a line from Mike Lang, like a butcher's dog. And I'll let her tell the testimony. Roll that one.
Hi, I'm Mikey Gonzalez. This is my mom, Pastor Anita Gonzalez. And today we just want to come and share our testimony of what the Lord did with my youngest brother. Long story short, he had suffered from epilepsy. He accidentally fell down during a race. He was dehydrated and he hurt his head. And ever since that day, that was in eighth grade. And from eighth grade to now, it's been about 10 years, he has slowly lost decline in his nervous central system. He was not able to recollect memory. He was not able to understand speech. He would lose his balance. He had a lot of he couldn't control his movements in any way, shape, or form. And the worst part of it all was that he could not sleep. And so I was telling the pastor Jonathan, was that every 10 minutes or so, he would have a seizure or he would twitch. And so even what doctors say, REM sleep is good for you, he could not enjoy, because every time at midnight, 3 a.m, at 6 a.m, he would have a major attack. And it was constantly an oppression of the devil upon his life, because he couldn't get out. For as much as we would try to teach him the word of God and Bible verses or pray with him, he wasn't there. So he went from being a presidential honor roll student to like a second grade memory. And so today we came expecting and believing the Lord for a miracle in our younger brother, believing the Lord that he was going to do something in his life, because for 10 years, my parents hadn't slept. We haven't slept. We've been standing in faith, believing the Lord, but the manifestation was longing. And so we're like, no, Lord, we're going to give a special offering to the Lord, believing for his miracle. We joined the 21 days of prayer and fasting. That was one of our prayer points. And when we heard Pastor Jonathan was coming here, we're like, no, we're going to believe the Lord that today the oppression ends. And so when Pastor Jonathan came to California, Los Angeles, California, it was literally an answer to prayer. He called each and every one of us out, but specifically the word of the knowledge that the Lord gave him for my younger brother was spot on. I told my parents, it hit the nail on the coffin. It was so accurate. Sure enough, he said that the Lord was going to restore his speech. The Lord was going to restore movement in his body. Everything that the enemy had stolen from him, this was the year of double. And so when he prayed for him, I was sharing with the brothers and sisters that when Pastor Jonathan went to go lay hands on him, he's standing by himself. Unconsciously, he would like fall backwards. But that moment when Pastor was praying, he was standing by himself. He responded. Pastor Jonathan said, "Can I pray for you?" And he himself said, "Yes." And so when the Lord touched him, I was amazed, because we went home that night rejoicing and praising the Lord. And I want to share this video with you guys. He slept 30 seconds without a single seizure. And then the 30 seconds went to a minute, and then 2 minutes, and then 5 minutes. And the next thing you know, he's sleeping. And you can see this spirit of peace upon his life. He's able to sleep. And so we're really excited to see what the Lord's going to do with him, how the Lord is going to be able to restore restored completely from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, body, function, control, his memory, his intellect, everything is coming back. And so we just want to give all the praise and the glory and the honor to God, because if he could sleep through the night, what is the Lord going to do from now until the rest of the time that the Lord comes? We're going to see that miracle. We're going to see the intelligence come back. We're just going to continue praising God because we know this is the beginning of a great miracle in progress.
Give Jesus a great hand clap. Hallelujah. That'd be worth all the trips just for that. I'll skip the second testimony just for the sake of time. No, I won't. This guy was a pastor from a Pentecostal denomination. His son got vaccine injured and is just, you know, awful, far end on the spectrum. Can't any loud noise, just start screaming, can't take him out in public. And when that all happened in 24 hours. This guy came when I was preaching in Redlands, California last year, about an hour from Los Angeles. He came and brought his son, and his son was in the special room for kids that are battle that, to keep him away from the loud noise. And when I was preaching, faith came alive in his heart. And he went back and signed his kid out of the room and brought him in. And when he brought him in, you know, I've been doing this a little while, I knew what happened. I said, "Is your son has a problem? And when I was preaching, you felt to go get him, so I'd pray for him?" "Yeah." I said, "Bring him to me." And I prayed. And then he came back. Obviously, I left when the meeting was over to come back to Pittsburgh. Didn't get to hang around and talk. So he drove to Los Angeles to tell me what you're going to see. Roll it.
Hi, my name is Cal Hicks. I just wanted to testify about a major breakthrough that we had in our family. My son, Caleb, was put on an autism spectrum when he was about 3 years old. And my wife and I attended a revival last May. And I felt impressed with the Lord to go get him out of kids' church and bring him forward for prayer. Pastor Jonathan laid hands on him, spoke right into not only my life, but into my son's life. I didn't have any conversation with him whatsoever. He spoke directly to the need, commanded my son to be healed. We saw a change almost immediately, but then over the course of the next several weeks, the Lord spoke to our heart not to take any more state aid. We were getting financial aid from the state because he had been placed on the autism spectrum. But we stepped out in faith, and I felt impressed. Like the Lord said, either you trust me completely or not at all. And so we stepped out, and from that time forward, we just seen him break through ceiling after ceiling, all the limitations that they had placed on him because of the diagnosis. One of the most notable ones was about a month later, I heard the vacuum cleaner start up. Normally when the vacuum cleaner's running, my son will run for the back office, our back bedroom, and close the door until we're done. I poked my head around the corner to find out why my other son was playing with the vacuum cleaner, and it turned out that it was Caleb. Not only was he playing with the vacuum cleaner, but he's given it a name, Vonnie the Vacuum. And so I just wanted to share that with anybody out there who is struggling with a diagnosis that they do not have the last word. God will have the last word if you put your faith and your trust in him. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Cal. Give Jesus another great hand clap today. Just so you know, if you're a visitor here, that's the church we go to. If you got a problem, we don't pray, God, Lord, give them strength as they go through. We don't know why. Is that how Jesus prayed for people? No, it's not. That's how backslidden seminary graduates pray for people. And it's what's killing this country. It's not the Democrat Party. They're also not helping. But there is no political party that can withstand an on-fire church that demonstrates the power of God. Can you say amen? And it works everywhere. Let me pray for this lady here with the blonde hair. Power of God's all over you. That's not you being emotional. That's the Lord. I'll tell you exactly what the Lord's doing. He put faith in your spirit that a situation that you gave up on, the Lord's telling you, it's turning around. The devil told you it's over, but the devil doesn't get to pick when it's over. And you're delivered from the fear of it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Mind if I pray for you? I won't embarrass you. People go through very hard things. Lift both hands, close both eyes. You carry the, when you carry the weight of that, you help people and try to be strong for other people. It takes a toll on you too, but the Lord is refreshing you right now. Supernaturally refreshing you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. You know that one guy that gave the testimony, he's a pastor, Pastor Cal. Hard to preach when your son's in the back screaming with an autism injury. The devil whispering in your ear, oh, if that stuff you're preaching works so well, how come your son's back there doing that? Devil's a freaking evil, wicked bastard. So when I seem like I preach a certain way, because I'm not here to mess around. There's people who come to church as a last resort and have already made up their mind they're going to kill themselves that night. Okay. How many? We're just going to share a couple of thoughts. Then we have tea and scrumpets in the back. People need help. People are getting touched right now all over this room. Let me pray for this lady. Let me pray for this lady here. How come I know you? I've met you before, huh? Yeah. Yeah, come, let me pray for you. Lord's touching you right now. Put both hands where your lungs are. The beginnings of COPD and emphysema. Lord takes it out of your lungs. You're going to breathe clearly and have a strong heart. That thing will not trouble you anymore. In Jesus' name. You know, I'm sorry. But I just finished an evangelistic meeting. It's hard to turn it off. Especially the Holy Ghost. You see people crying all over this place. That's why we play those videos. Not to show you like I have a ministry. It's to show you that this isn't bullcrap. God still answers prayer that's prayed in faith. Ask and ye shall receive. Not ask and you might receive. There is no Bible verse. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says wait. That's not in the Bible. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There's a guy dying in the hospital. They called my Uncle Ted to go pray for him a couple weeks back in North Carolina. He didn't want to see any preachers because the last preacher they had come in told him why God does that and we don't know. He said, well, if God does it, then stay away. God is not the author of death. If he wanted people to die, he could have kept Jesus in heaven. Jesus came that you might have life. Life. The devil says die. The devil wants your kid dead from drug addiction. That's not God. That's not God testing you. He came to deliver you. To deliver you. People are supposed to be happy. People are supposed to be laughing. They're not supposed to be doped up on antidepressants. Victimized by the devil. Enough's enough. People making money off people's problems. He came that you might have life. Your long-standing problems come to an end today. Let me pray for this lady here in the gray sweatshirt and also this guy in the glasses with the goatee. You look like a young Stephen Curtis Chapman. The man, not the lady. Both of you lift your hands. See, your joy's coming back. Put your hand on your belly, miss. The joy of the Lord is your strength. God heals your body. God gives you a miracle on the inside. Anything doctors told you you can't do or won't have, you have it. In Jesus' name. Take a second touch. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Olivia, stand up. Step in the aisle. Try to sit further in the back. Maybe you can sit like against the blank and we'll get a golf cart to run you up for prayer. Lift both hands, close both eyes. That's the power of God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Just lift your hands and begin to thank God that he's touching you right now. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm telling you as your pastor, anything the devil has sent to steal your joy, God's going to break that thing right now and give you your joy back. Your children are going to come home. Your children are going to be free. You're not going to have to, anything the devil told you, well, this is just what you're going to battle. You know, both of those testimonies had the same thing in common. You know what it was? Your son had this problem. He'll never be able to sleep through the night. He'll always have seizures. Your son has a vaccine injury, he'll be like this his whole life. Those are called plagues of long continuance. A man who had been crippled in his feet for 38 years, when Jesus saw him and knew how long he had been that way, he said, would you like to get well? Do you know why? Because plagues of long continuance are listed in Deuteronomy 28 as part of the curse of the law. But Christ has redeemed us. Not will redeem us. One day in heaven. No, not will redeem us. Christ has redeemed us from all the curse of the law. From all the curse of the law. Having been made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everything that is hung on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham. That the this lady in the gray shirt, glasses, yes, come. I'm not just, the power of God's on you. Power of God's on you. Holy Ghost is on you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. He loves you very much. And he's going to help you with both hands. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Very present help. Very present help. Very present help in time of trouble. Very present help. You don't have to get slapped around in life. The devil's been defeated. He had his teeth taken out. Freaking religion, man. Telling you, you know, there's things we have to put up with. Who did Jesus tell somebody you're going to have to put up with something? Yeah. In fact, when religious thinking entered into the equation, Jesus, is this man blind because of his own sins or because of the sins of his parents? He said, well, he said, neither, but so the glory of God could be seen. Now, people actually are dumb enough to use that as a scripture, anti-healing. So how many of you know sometimes when sickness comes, it's for God's glory? No, it doesn't end there. How was God's glory shown? He opened his eyes. Jesus didn't leave people suffering. He picked them up out of the pit and set their feet on the rock to stay. And religion may have changed and people may have changed, but Jesus never changes. He's a healer then. He's a healer now. He'll be a healer tomorrow. He never changes. He's an unchanging God. He loves you. If you call on him, he'll answer you. I said, if you call on him, he'll answer you. He has power. Power. He broke the power of death. He broke the power of sin. He broke it. You don't have to mess with it. It doesn't have power. That's why Satan hates preachers. Because when real preachers get up and tell you the devil is a punk, he lost. He's not losing. He's not going to lose. He lost 2,000 years ago. You know what he is? You know what the devil is? He's a football team that lost the game and is still lingering on the field. And all that's going to happen when he gets thrown in hell, that's him hey, listen, the game's been over a long time. Beat it. Out you go. He's done. He's finished. The game's won. Quit listening to conservative Christians. We're in a great battle. I'm not in a great battle. I'm having fun. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm setting captives free. I'm casting out devils. I'm healing the sick. I'm announcing the good news. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. In the black boots. No use dabbing your eyes. You're fighting a losing battle. This will be a service where your makeup is messed up. But you can go home and reapply. But for now, enjoy. Lift both hands, close both eyes. As you do, the fire of God comes upon you. The fire, Vivian. The fire of the Holy Ghost. What you had at UMass Dartmouth. To start that Bible study, that fire comes back into you in Jesus' name. That's right. That's right. That's fire. With every fire, there's a siren. Yeah, if you get lit on fire, you don't go. Fire! Holy Ghost fire! That's what this church has. That's what this church will never be ashamed of. The fire of the Holy Ghost. Fuego de Dios. Fuego. Fire. Fresco fire. Somebody shout fresh fire. Fresh fire. You got it. You're going to have the healthiest year you've ever had. I have a feeling it's not going to be very long if it were not there already, that this church only makes visits to the hospital to pray for other people. We won't have people in the hospital. This will be a hospital-free church. Let me pray for this lady with the blonde hair and jean jacket. I won't embarrass you or anything. Other than making you stand up in front of a national TV audience. Other than that, lift both hands, close both eyes. As you do, that's it. Every heavy load. Bible says in Isaiah 10:27, he lifts the heavy burden and destroys the yoke of bondage. Whatever heavy load you've been carrying, the Lord takes that burden, that's it, and removes it. And the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. Hallelujah. Life's not supposed to be hard. Life's supposed to be fun. God didn't create life to be a burden. He created it to be a blessing. Look forward to waking up in the morning. You know what I'm going to do in the morning? Whatever I want. My parents aren't with me in the house anymore. If I want to have Grater's butter pecan ice cream for breakfast with Skittles on top, I'm going to have it. I'm going to have fun. I never let religion tell me what I could do and couldn't do. We don't pray for people here. I do. Okay. That's why I met in a Sheraton last night. Because Sheraton doesn't know anything about, now if you could just keep the sermon shorter. You're just happy you're there. Can you say amen? Let me pray for my Hungarian friend. Met some of your countrymen over in Los Angeles. You know the Lord can give you brand new cartilage in your knees. And brand new feet. Take all pain away. Knees and feet. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, if you don't want me to pray for you, just look straight ahead at the wall and pretend you don't see me, and that'll be my sign. Just ignore him. He'll go away. I know I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to stay at the front, but I'm also an evangelist, and I travel. Amen. God has a miracle for you today. You know that? God has a miracle for you today. You don't have to struggle with anything you don't want to struggle with. I want everybody to bow their head and close their eyes. I know I didn't open the Bible, but I did quote quite a few scriptures. I guess we opened it for the offering. Everybody that's between the age of zero, everybody that's old enough to listen to what I'm saying, up to age 35, you're a young person, but you say, Pastor, I'm going through a hard time. I've been tough. I've been strong. You might even be an established member of this church where you'd be hesitant to come up here because, well, what will they think? The second you quit caring what anybody thinks is when life becomes free. What will they think if I go up for prayer? Who cares what people think? They don't even know what they're thinking half the time. You ever read Facebook? You're going to run your life on what anonymous people are thinking rather than get help? Who cares what anybody thinks? I know I don't. And I'll pass that gift along to you if you'd like. Just do what's right. Get help from God. Alcohol has no cure for your problem. Pills have no cure for your problem. Even if they help a little, they'll mess other things up, like your liver. But the blood of Jesus has never lost its power. And there's nothing the blood of Jesus can heal. Nothing. I pray for this lady in the dark hair. Oh, I know you. With both hands, close both eyes. In Jesus' name. You know, I come here and do my thing and go home. I'm there. Now, what was wrong? I'm not nosy. I like preaching and playing video games. I don't like meddling in people's business and also eating ice cream. You're free in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. God bless you. Be free. Be free. Now, let me tell you this. If you've recently got a new boyfriend or a new girlfriend and you weren't depressed before them and now you is depressed, I would blame them and I'd break up. You know you're in a right relationship because it brings joy, not sorrow. When Jesus comes on the scene, you don't get depressed, you get happy. When Adonis came on the scene, I got happy. We didn't start swinging at each other. That came 2 or 3 years in. But we're past that now. So when the Lord has set you free today and is setting you free, then whatever, a lot of times when God heals you, then he'll speak to you about changes you need to make. It's not him being a jerk or trying to control your life. It's, hey, you know, it'd be like if somebody's driving on the left side of the road on 79, you say, hey, maybe go back on the right side. And it won't seem so hard to drive. If you're driving on the left side, so like, boy, driving's difficult. I know, but if you'll go over here with traffic, it's easier. That's all he's doing. So you don't end up in hell. I pray for my friend with a nice leopard print handbag. Jesus loves you, you know. I also love you because I'm his servant. Lift both hands. Rather than list off like 7 things God's going to do for you right now, I'm just going to tell you the Lord's going to give you a complete overhaul. Physical body, mind, financial breakthrough. You're going to come back the happiest lady in Pittsburgh when I see you next week saying, surely the Lord has done great things. That's it. Take more. Be healed. Be healed. In Jesus' name, he's a wonderful God. He's a wonderful God. Jesus is wonderful. I know this is a different kind of service, but if you read the ministry of Jesus and you read the book of Acts, this is what you read. Jesus didn't sit on a stool drinking a latte and share 3 thoughts that all started with the same letter and then pray for traveling mercies on people's way home. He taught, then preached, then healed all the sick. Bible says he laid his hands on the whole village. That's a long service. Would it take me last night 20 minutes to pray for 400 people? So imagine praying for one night Oral Roberts laid hands on 9,000 people under the tent, personally, not with a prayer team. Had to switch arms because he couldn't lift his other arm anymore. Then he couldn't lift either of them. People helped him. And then they would carry him, A.A. Allen, those guys, they'd carry them to bed. In their suit and lay them on top of the bed. They're like, you talk about spending your life out for people. That's what Jesus did. Let me pray for this guy in the brown. Zip up. Praise God. That's it. That's the Lord lifting the heavy burden off you. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. That's it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You're not going to have to shoulder that anymore. That's it. There's more. That's the Lord pouring his oil on you. That's the Lord giving you your fire back. In Jesus' name, no more fighting. Life's not supposed to be fighting all the time. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Was that you in San Diego? I thought it was you, but then I thought I might be losing my mind and need to sleep more. Step out into the aisle. You and your girlfriend there. Lord's got something for you. Both of you lift your hands. Here come gifts from heaven. Blessings from heaven. Did I not say in my word, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after my righteousness, for they will be filled. As you've hungered and thirsted, so now you're filled. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I'll pray for a couple more people and I'll finish my altar call. Praise God. See, sorry you had to endure this, but for me, it's just like one service. I just finished praying for people in Los Angeles at 4 a.m. this time. I went to sleep on the plane, changed into another suit. Took an Italian shower. 6 or 7 squirts of cologne. Washed my hair and headed over. Probably could have left that part out. So I'm in the same flow I was in last night praying for those people. And I tried to get out of it, but I can't. Praise God. How many of you are getting touched by God today? You need to have an encounter with God. You need to know Him. The Apostle Paul didn't say that I may learn about Him, though you need to learn about Him from the Word, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. You have to have that, or your Christianity is incomplete. I pray for you. Hand the Lord's on you. Stand up, sir. Jesus loves you. Lift both hands, close both eyes. There's ministers here today that got out of the flow. Well, God's putting you back in the flow today. You're going to fulfill your calling and do what God's called you to do and be who God's called you to be. You won't miss it by one inch. That's it. Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Good to see you. Let me pray for you, Brother Terry. Lift both hands, close both eyes. In Jesus' name. Just like waves of grief wash over, now those waves are going to be replaced with waves of glory. In Jesus' name. This is the baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Come here, Mr. Dakota. All right, come on. Lift your hands even higher as you know the power of God comes upon you. In Jesus' name. Amen. How much is that youth retreat to go on? How much does it cost? It's $150. I'd get the money. I would get your teenagers. Youth starts back up this Thursday. I'd get your teenagers in youth group every Thursday. If they have a big test on Friday, tough luck for the test. You can get a D on a test and still survive in life. Trust me. I would put a spiritual priority on your teenagers because the devil's working overtime to take them out. So get them. The youth group we have is not pizza and Pepsi and ping pong. They'll have an encounter with God. We've had transgender youth detransition and go back to their other gender. Not one, several. Get them there. Thursday, 7 o'clock, 107 Patton Drive. Not here. You can bring them here, but you'll have to have your own service. 107 Patton Drive. Young adults, 18 to 35. That's generous. 35 year. No, I'm still young. They don't think so in sports. You ever catch yourself when you're like my age? Like, what do they got this guy on the team for? What is he, 38? I'm 43. 18 to 35 Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. All the 18 to 35s, get there. I'm having trouble meeting people. Get there. You meet Christians, not people from Forensic Files. Not people that their idea of a date is tying you up into a van and going to a state park. Christians. That's my selling point for young adults. We've had no abductions in 2 years, no murders. We set the bar very low for our ministers. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're 18 to 30, if you're 0 to 35, I feel to give a special call for this group. Jonathan, I'm struggling. And there'll be people that respond to this that you know what I know. You know you're not supposed to be struggling. This is not to judge you. This is to help you. I'm not going to wait after and say, now, why were you up there? Get free. You know, look at many times Peter goofed up. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus came back and made a special trip. Peter, lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. Lovest thou me? Feed my lambs. I don't want people to pretend life's going well because they know what I preach and know it's right. I want you to have the victory, not just believe in the victory. Have it. And you can practically have that today. I think one of the things that keeps people from walking in victory is they think if the devil's messed with them for 15 years, 20 years, then God's going to need like minimum 3. But I played those testimonies today to show you that the devil could be giving you a major problem for many years, and you're only one prayer away from a miracle. If you're between those ages, 0 and 35, and you say, Jonathan, when the Bible says in Isaiah 10:27, it is the anointing that lifts the heavy burden and destroys the yoke of bondage, I'm carrying a heavy burden. I'm yoked with a yoke of bondage, but I'm not taking it home with me. I want to be free. That's the first step, and arguably the only step. You have to, I can't get you to be dissatisfied with how you're living. You have to hit a point where you say, enough is enough. I'm not going to get slapped around by the devil. I'm leaving here free, and then I'm going to get anointed and do the slapping around. I'm not only going to get free, I'm going to be used by God to deliver my friends and family from the attacks of the enemy. If you're in that age group, real quick before I pray for that age group, this lady in the light blue shirt, she's a barber, I think. Stand up if you would. I don't think there's any barbers that don't go to our church. If both hands, close both eyes. As you do, the fire of God that's on you comes upon you even stronger. That's it. Go right through you. In Jesus' name. More. 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 In Jesus' name. Praise God. If you're in that age group, 0 to 35, I'm not going to be a slave of the pharmaceutical companies or weed dispensaries. I'm not going to be addicted to something that helps me. I'm telling you, you can live like I live and like Jesus lives. I need to take a pill to go to sleep because I can't sleep. You know what I take to go to sleep? Fettuccine Alfredo. It'll knock you out. It's much cheaper. You don't have to get a prescription. You can order it right to the house. I mean, you could be in 97 degree direct sunlight. You eat a pull of that, out you go. If you have fettuccine Alfredo, your plans for the day are canceled. You can barely make it to the car in the park. You don't have to live like people live. You got a bag of weed, I got a bag of fettuccine. And it's much easier on your lungs. If you're between those ages, 0 to 35, Jonathan, I'm done with the devil. I'm leaving here free today. I want you to pop up on your feet right now. I don't care who comes or who doesn't come. I'm getting free. I'm not putting up with this one more day. I'm leaving free. Jesus paid too high a price. Jesus paid too high a price for me to be walking around with my head down, wondering how I'm going to make it. I'm coming out. I'm receiving the more than conqueror life. I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ. This is awesome. Very quickly, come out of your seat and line right across the touchline. Go ahead and play and sing what you're playing. Come quickly. This is awesome. This is awesome. To you I belong. I'm proud of you. I give myself to you. Hallelujah. This is your day. I give myself away. Oh. want you to pray a prayer with me. The only reason I give you the words to say is because some people have never prayed. So if I just said, pray to God, you want to know what to do. I'm going to give you the words, but make them your own. Say them from your heart. You're talking to a real God. A reminder about Fort Worth. Over to you, Kofi. Fort Worth, I love you. Sorry that I got caught up in the spirit. But deep down, I'm not sorry. I'll figure this two campus thing out eventually, but it's not today. Lift both hands. Say this from your spirit. Heavenly Father, say it out loud. Heavenly Father, I've come forward today to give you my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe in my heart you raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord and my Savior. Right now, I receive forgiveness by the blood of Jesus. I am saved. I am forgiven. I am clean. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for sharing the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. If you're interested in supporting our mission to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, please visit revivaltoday.com and click on Give Now to become one of our monthly partners. Thank you in advance. We hope to see you soon.